In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, as we contemplate the birth of your Son, all of the circumstances that surround that magnificent mystery, as we contemplate Mary, Joseph, we look at the three wise men and the shepherds. Help us to understand the mystery behind all of what we see, so that we may truly become one, not only with the mystery, but with the love that it expresses to each one of us. We ask this through the intercession of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of Peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, just so you know, in your rooms, you have this book. It's a folder, and in that folder, there's adoration times. Adoration is upstairs. Every day they have some periods of adoration, and you can use that place as well if you want to meditate before the Blessed Sacrament, exposed. And so you would go out of the entrance here, turn right, take the first right, and then the next right, and then you go up to the top of the hill, and you'll see the friary, the entrance, and you go turn right into that, and then there you can you'll have adoration in the chapel up on top. So just so you know, because you're free to do that. Okay. Now, remember that this is the second person of the Blessed Trinity that's coming down into the womb of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. Now we look at the various elements and the various individuals that surround this mystery. And we look at the shepherds, Luke 2, 1 to 13. Now, there are 13 verses on the shepherds alone. Therefore, the Holy Spirit wanted to say much, much more than just what was there. The shepherds were night watchmen, the outcasts of the world at that time. Now, they were condemned by the ranchers, both shepherds, yet both hated the diggers, they called them, planters, and the fences that they built, and so forth. There was this big feud going on. It always was, and actually still is today among some people in some places. An angel stood by them, a messenger of God to them. The brightness of God shone around them. It says in Scripture, you dwell in inapproachable light, and they fear. Who am I to receive a special message? The light shone around them. Probably none of them had a bath in weeks or months. The angel said, fear not, good angels always pacify and calm you. Great tidings of joy for all the people, even the Gentiles. A son is born, Christ the Lord. He comes among you in the hypostatic union. Think about this. I don't know if you know the hypostatic union. If you haven't heard of it, that is where the divinity of God is united completely, totally, unconditionally, and for eternity to the humanity of Christ. This will never end. It's the most amazing concept that anyone could, we really couldn't come up with something like this, that God would unite with his creature intrinsically and completely, totally, hypostatically, so completely that it will never, ever be a time for all eternity where he will be separated from a creature infinitely lesser than himself. I mean, that's almost unfathomable. Not one person in the world would do that. None of us would say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to become a cat, and it's my whole life I'm going to be that cat. I'm going to give up my humanity, give up my ability to think, talk. That's what God did, even more infinitely, more lower. In the city of David, there will be a sign, an infant in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. The Holy Spirit wants us to see these things. Who is wrapped for my sake and laid in a manger? Second person of the Blessed Trinity. Suddenly a multitude of heavenly army, billions of angels swooped over to see the shepherds, and from there the stable and back again throughout the night sky. And all behind it, there is a sorrowful mystery. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. The thrust of the angelic life, glory to God. From there the angels departed to heaven. It's a place from here to there. Mary and Jesus have a body. They are in heaven. So there is a place. Heaven is a place. You and I have a place there as well that God is holding for us. So what do the shepherds do? All right, let's go. Very simple people, the shepherds. They found Mary and Joseph and the infant in a manger, and seeing, they understood the word that had been spoken to them about the child. Now I wish I could understand, as the shepherds did. Thank you, God, for revealing to the little ones. It says they marveled. So many more came, and more, everyone around from the whole place was coming. Everyone tells everyone else, and all were told by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God, and returned to their flocks as you will return to your homes, to your parishes, to your work. And in that, we will praise God for what he has revealed to each one of us during these days. Forever we will be exploring the infinite universe of God himself, all the charming things that he reveals to us. If you took each episode of the life of Jesus and you string them out, you could have so many meditations, so many wondrous things, and then begin to understand him. There are exemplary saints in our lives and in the church throughout the history of the church, and they show us how to do things, how to live, how to be. They are facets of this mystery, of the mystery of the incarnation of Christ. As I've said, Ignatius in this sees this is the foundation of that universal spirituality. Now, remember I told you the spiritual senses and the natural senses, always remember to bring into your meditations seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling. Bring those in. Make these meditations living. What do I see with the physical senses? A little pink baby. With the spirit, I see the Trinity redeeming man in this particular way. That's what I see with the spiritual senses. I feel the cold and damp and the rough straw. I feel spiritually rejection. His own received him not. Taste. But I can taste the good taste of his being born in this place. And the spiritual taste born in this way. Therefore all will come to him, rich or poor. You hear a dog bark, a sheep. Mary and Joseph muffled, speaking. Spiritually, we hear the beatitude, blessed are the poor. We smell the fragrance. Spiritually, we smell the fragrance of the divinity of Christ. I can apply this to every single mystery, to see the inward meaning of what God is really trying to say to me, to us. We must go through it. We must experience it. We must be there this day, today, 2,000 years ago. I must become at home with the mystery. Jesus is presented in the temple. And then there's the flight into Egypt. Each communion I receive doubles the grace within me. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and so forth. Just constantly, every time we receive communion, we double the grace within. The law was that a sacrifice must be made for the child. Not that they bring the child to the temple, that wasn't required. Only a sacrifice. 2 turtle doves or pigeons. But Mary, it was different. I don't know if you know this, but in the times of Jesus, there was a tradition that once the mother gave birth, there was the purification period, and after the purification, the mother of the firstborn boy would enter into the house, and the father would sit on his throne. Now, every single father had a throne in Jerusalem, because especially if they were a line of David, the throne was like your grandpa's chair. You ever had a grandpa who sat in the same stinking chair until it fell apart? My grandfather, the springs were coming up and poking him, and he'd just throw his newspapers on it. And my grandmother couldn't stand it because he had duct tape holding it together. It was just a piece of junk. But you couldn't touch it. You couldn't reupholster it. You couldn't touch it. That's my chair. She couldn't even sit in it. Not that she'd want to. She would be impaled. But every single man in Jerusalem, especially the line of David, had their chair. And every family did and does. And he would sit in the chair, and the mother would process with the baby for the first time since the purification. And she would present the baby, the firstborn son, to the father. The father would then take the baby, offer the baby to the father, and then place the baby on his knee. And at that moment, the child became a rightful heir to the throne of David and a member of the tribe. Now, Joseph wasn't the father of Jesus. Mary could not do that with Joseph. And so, we see Mary bringing Jesus to the temple, something that was not done. And so she brings him to the temple, and she's fulfilling the tradition by raising him up to his father. Now at this time, Simeon, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophet Simeon, he bursts into the temple, and he sees this child. Very odd that the child would be brought in the temple, especially by the mother. Women don't go into that part of the temple. She's holding him up, offering him to his father. And he comes in and he sees this and he says, "My eyes have seen the salvation of the people of Israel." And you can see by the words that he takes Jesus in his arms and he says, "This child shall be the rise and the fall of men in Israel." And then he turns to Mary and he says, "And you, woman, a sword will pierce your heart, so that the thoughts of men will be revealed." Now, if he would have just said, "A sword will pierce your heart," what mother doesn't get her heart pierced by her child? Every kid does something that hurts the mother. But you see, he continued with, "So that the thoughts of men will be revealed." And so that means this was something that was important, and it was the, you know, and I always ask people, especially Protestants, what was the last prophet of the, who was the last prophet of the Old Testament? What's the last prophet of the Old Testament? And they immediately go to Baruch or Babaruch or Baba Mama or whatever it is. And they're running around talking all this stuff. And I said, "No, Simeon." Simeon? Yeah, the prophet Simeon and the prophetess Anna were in the temple. And the prophet Simeon gives a prophecy. And that's why they don't know this prophet, or they don't think of him, because they don't want this prophecy. This prophecy must be fulfilled before the end of the New Testament. And this is a prophecy that has been fulfilled. "Blessed are you who have believed," Elizabeth said. Can you imagine? Mary had one vision and lived her entire life one vision. Joseph, 3 dreams. When Elizabeth said, "Blessed art thou who hast believed," there is where we realize that she truly is the woman of faith. So Mary probably said, Joe, I'd like to take my baby up to offer him to his father. And Joseph said, sure, Mary, whatever you want. So they brought the sacrifice and took the occasion when she was purifying. And there's Simeon's story. An incredible man, Simeon. Now, the prophetess prophesied the Lord, Anna. She spread the word throughout. Everyone knew something was up. Mary and Jesus, their heads are too close together to have individual halos. They mingle and cross together. Now, St. Ignatius skips the Magi. He jumps right to the flight to Egypt. But the flight to Egypt would never have taken place if not for the visit of the Magi. Now, this is 200 plus miles, all desert. Therefore, a major undertaking to go from Jerusalem to Egypt. So it's so difficult that modern scholars reject it as impossible. They say, it's impossible. The scriptures are a valid historical document. Jesus redeemed the world in his own person by submitting to every detail of his human life and love. His filial service to his Father gained the redemption. In my life, I also have been decreed all the details that I am to suffer in order to merit graces for some today. Remember, this child is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. At every moment, he is meriting with full voluntariness and freedom. 2 years old, second person of the Blessed Trinity still. The facts of the case are clear. Jesus is the one I'm dealing with. Father is God, no exception. The only person that is 2 years old on that trip, and he's hurting, and he knows exactly what's happening, and he is being obedient to his Father, is willingly doing this. Jesus' Father is God, no exception. Is he aware of the flight to Egypt, of me here right now? Yes. He's aware of what I'm saying, what I'm thinking. Here and now, back then. He hears it then. The prayer that you say in your room or in the chapel or as you're walking, Jesus heard when he was 2 years old. Jesus is man in all things except sin. Therefore, he suffers even ignorance, for he asked questions. How could he know all things? My faith. I don't have to know how to know that it is true. Jesus asked the old lady, how many years had she been bent over? He knew. He knew exactly how many years. He knew her. I don't know how he could know and not know at the same time, but I know that it is true. I believe it because God said it. There's a little saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God is infinitely, is infinite, and I am finite. To grasp the infinite truth, I simply must accept it. As soon as you try to explain it, you overemphasize or diminish either his humanity or his divinity. Now he veers off again. He's always doing this, that's why I like St. Ignatius. He's kind of like, he thinks like so human. He wants us to speak about and think about the discernment of spirits again, and he always puts it just in the right place. What I love is found in oftentimes in my emotional life. I see the good spirit and I see the evil spirit. If I expect to get what I love, I have joy. If I lose it, I have grief. If I get it, joy. If I have it, joy. If I lose what I love, I have grief. The evil spirit would have me centering my love on those things that I shouldn't. Why? So that my life becomes a life of grief. There was a very holy priest who once said that to expect more than anyone is able to give you is to condemn yourself to a bad attitude. You don't expect anything from anybody, you're never disappointed. Especially your kids. But if you never expect anything and all of a sudden they do something kind, you're pleasantly surprised. Even as a priest, I've found I don't expect anything from anybody, ever. And when somebody does something or says something, I go, wow, that was nice of them. Otherwise, you tend to be miserable because you're expecting so much. Now, the Magi. Remember that God is the author of sacred scripture. We come to know him in sacred scripture. Now, they wrote sacred scripture through their own experiences, most certainly. But it is God who uses their experiences to write the words. So it is God who writes all of sacred scripture, and it is colored by the experiences of each one of the writers. So it makes it even more interesting and sometimes makes it a little confusing, but it is all written by God. What comes out and is written is what God is writing. Now, the wise men, wisdom, the East, Babylon, Persia, The star in the east. When good comes to evil, they are troubled. All of Jerusalem, you know, this is an interesting thing, you know, when the three wise men come and they speak to the tetrarch and they say, where is the baby to be born? And the interesting thing about it is he knew. He consulted the people in the faith. He consulted the scribes, and they knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew this. And then he says, now listen, you go there, and when you find him, worship him, then come and tell me exactly where he is so I can come and worship him as well. Now the amazing thing is this. After the wise men left, there's one phrase that throughout my seminarian days always stood out and stunned me. And it was this. After he had heard this, he and all of Jerusalem with him were troubled. Why? Here they finally have the Messiah, the one they're waiting for. The problem is that it was the wrong one. They didn't want the suffering servant. They knew that the suffering servant would be born in a humble place. They didn't want him. They wanted the one that was going to conquer Rome and it was going to free them from the yoke of Rome, and they would rise up and they would be a power again and they would conquer their enemies, and that's why they were troubled. They didn't want this Messiah. They wanted the one who would conquer their enemies. And so he and all Jerusalem with him were troubled. An edict was sent out. Why 2 years and under, slaughtering these children? 2 years and under? Because that's when they saw the star in the east. God reveals things to the little ones and withholds them from the wise. It is obviously a completely miraculous star. There's no exceptions to that. There are people who try to explain it away and say, oh yeah, back then there was a meteorite. Baloney. Meteorites don't appear and disappear, and then stop. They just don't. So, you know, they try to do this stuff and it just never works out. Jesus is always found with his mother. Shepherds arrived, they adored him. How could they know he was God? They couldn't know he was God. Yes, they could. They knew what God put in their mind and in their heart. In sleep, they received an answer, go another way home. And they returned another way. Simeon and Anna are two wondrous people. You can spend a whole week on just them, how they lived, what they yearned for when they found it, what they did. Think about what our Lord wants to reveal to us through these wonderful moments. The birth of Jesus. Flight into Egypt. He accepts every single detail of the decree of redemption. I observe him accepting our human lot in the very presentation. He's 40 days old. He's carried 6 miles in the arms. Jesus came to be my model, to be my salvation, to be the ideal of my very soul, to teach me how to live in the new order of grace. Jesus is God. I must use my knowledge and understanding. Jesus lived like a peasant. At 10 years old, there was a tax revolt. And the Romans came and crucified every single male in the entire village from 1 month old to 80 years old. Incredible. Jesus saw this. Joseph escaped with Jesus and Mary, seeing these people crucified along the road. Can you imagine? This is in the consciousness of a 10-year-old God-made man who passed by and see children, months old, old men, crucified all around him. How many inconveniences did Jesus endure? How many will I have to endure? How many things will God ask of me? Can you put up with this for my sake? Some people say, well, do you like it? What does that have to do anything about it, whether you like it or not? Mary's face on these travels were probably sweaty, sand in her teeth, and she prays for my redemption. Vatican II states very clearly that she positively contributed her merits to the redemption of me and you. She was helping to redeem the whole human race. We don't merit, but only the application of those merits. She actually merited the graces of my redemption. Each person that we see in this birth, in the early, very, very early stages of Jesus' life, brings some light to our mind, to our heart, to our consciousness. And there's a reason. Simeon and Anna, they happened to be the only ones, you know, in all of Jerusalem who knew what was going on at the time. are some that still don't know what's going on. We shall see only if we have the eyes of faith. To see the risen Christ, you don't have to believe it. You saw it. The resurrection of Christ is an historical fact. We know he rose from the dead. We believe he is God. So I have admiring love, ablative love. Use me, O most loving Father, as you did Mary and Joseph. Use me up. I am expendable. Now, they are the poor of Yahweh. This is Mary, Jesus, and Joseph. And you don't know something? Nobody would have picked them. Not a person that they met along the path that would have picked Mary to be the mother of God or Joseph to be the foster father of Jesus. So they, you see all these things that are happening. They're coming together, even in marriage. The vision of Joseph, the dreams, the journey that they took, making the various decisions, Mary's girlhood, Mary's espousal, the afterglow when she has Jesus inside of her, and the visitation where John was sanctified in the womb of his mother. All of this great mystery is for us. Otherwise, it would never be known. Parents would get together. Hey, how about your boy with my girl? And they were placed in a room. And Mary must have looked at Joe, and Joe was looking at Mary. Joe was not some old guy geezer. Nothing bugged me more than seeing Joseph depicted as an old geezer. He was a young man. Their marriage was arranged. They put him in a room. And she said, Joe, I got to tell you something. I got a vow of virginity. He laughs and he says, so do I. God ought to have exempted Joseph from the rules of concupiscence because of the role he had to do, therefore he, God, did. Because of his role. Can you imagine Joseph explaining to Jesus how to cut wood? The Son of God who made the wood. But Joseph must go and earn a dowry, get a house. So a year later they wed. They march Joseph from his house to Mary's, getting her with her virgins, and they are marched to the house of Mary. Both placed on a throne, and then both take each other to be lawful spouses. Jesus must be raised in an honest-to-God family. They must come together. Now, with regard to the visitation, Mary goes up, and when she comes back, Joe sees that she's pregnant. He doesn't know exactly what's going on, but he knows that Mary is not guilty of any crime because he was a just man. That meant that he followed 625 rules of the Pharisaical law to the letter. Otherwise, they could have never said he was a just man. And he had to, by law, in that justice, expose her to the law for execution. He had to. Otherwise, they could not call him a just man. He knew he didn't. And he knew she couldn't or wouldn't. He wasn't even suspicious of her. He saw immediately that something special was going on here, and he didn't know it. So he decides to put her away quietly. He could never have done that as a just man. Never. And he followed every single law. Now, we worship the saints. And I remember I told you before, we have dulia is the worship of the saints. Proto-dulia is the worship given only to Joseph. Hyper-dulia is the worship given only to Mary. And adoration is given to God. Joseph We worship beyond all others Mary through dulia, hyperdulia, the recognition and appreciation of excellence. And the only one after her, Joseph. So if you ever need anything, tell Joe. Never fear, Joseph. Never. You belong in his league. What did Anne, Mary's mother, think? She was living at Anne's house. Mary was married because she became a woman. She had a visitor. Is that what they call menstruation, I guess? Is that what it's called? Yeah. Now, Anne was washed, probably doing the bedclothes, and so there was no more spotting or anything like that, and so she became worried. All these natural things going on around Mary. How she dealt with these things and how the faith of Anne and Joachim and all these wonderful souls. We sometimes think that in some abstract way that they weren't affected by anything human, and yet it was all a human experience. You and I can relate perfectly with them. The looks, how Mary dealt with stupid things that people would say, embarrassing things. Joseph, just for your information, might have been the legitimate king of Jerusalem. Did you ever stop to think that? Could have truly been the legitimate king. But the kingdom was gone. The Romans had destroyed it. And so Joseph could have been the king of Israel because he was a son of David. And you know, you almost think that could be possible because everybody knew him. Everybody knew Joseph. He went to the temple. And when Jesus was brought to the temple, when he was found in the temple, Joseph doesn't even speak. But they know Joseph. They say, son of the carpenter. You see, they use derogatory terms because probably they were jealous of him. They could see him and they were gloating that there was no kingdom. Now look at what he does. A carpenter. So Joseph and Mary plodding along, watching their backs, Herod's troops, watching. What will we eat tomorrow? I don't know, Mary. We'll probably hollow out a cup of cacti. Enter into the reality of the mystery, of the human mystery, in order to truly understand and fathom the depth of the spiritual reality. Don't take one over the other. You have to have both. Otherwise, you will have a lopsided view of redemption. You will not be able to love him the way he wants to be loved without the natural element as well as the supernatural element. We need both. It's always been the problem in the church. He emphasized God is absolutely other, or he's so human, don't worry about anything. He's just like us. Both are wrong. There has to be a happy medium. There has to be the middle of the road with regard to everything. All virtue lies in the middle of the road. The church itself and her doctrine is in the center. It's not off to the left or to the right. Both are Looney Tunes. We have to find the central mystery, and we have to take both, his divinity and his humanity. And that's why these meditations on the Nativity are so important. And that's why the hidden, which will be the next meditation after this, is so beautiful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, you offer to each one of us an ability to love with the heart of Mary, to see through the eyes of faith the great and wondrous mystery unfolding through the simple, beautiful, and dedicated lives of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Lord, may we be worthy to live whatever life you offer to us, whatever difficulties may come our way. Help us to embrace them and recognize their power. Draw down the graces that your Son has merited so that we may merit to distribute them to those in need. We ask this through the intercession of the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of all Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.